Hey there, and welcome to the Jimmy's Table podcast at jimmystable.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Humphrey. I'm curiously evangelical, politically homeless, and a dreamer of small things. On this podcast, I'm having conversations about the intersection of faith, life, and culture. So if you have honest questions, aren't afraid to have difficult conversations, and want to have a little fun along the way, then pull up a chair. This podcast is for you. So today's episode 189 of the jimmystable.com podcast, and I'm going to talk about how the church has become a religious show. Pastor J.D. Greer said something in a sermon recently that got a lot of attention this past week. Clips circulating on Twitter showed Greer chastising people for not practicing hospitality in church, so showing up to service late, leaving early, and neglecting lonely members of the congregation. Overall, it's really not a bad idea, and it's not a bad sermon in and of itself. But this particular clip kind of caught some people's attention when taken slightly out of context, I think, but it made a lot of people think just the same. As summarized in a Christianity Today article, which I have linked to at the show notes at jimmystable.com for episode 189, if you go to those notes, you'll find a link to it. And in this article by Christianity Today, they noticed how in this sermon that J.D. Greer stated, "You treat the church like a religious show." Then he turned and pointed to his online viewers and said, "When people say that the church feels like a big production, you're the problem." And then the video then cuts out to a wider camera angle featuring J.D. Greer standing on a large, well-appointed stage in front of an audience sitting in movie-style theater seats, flanked by at least two massive high-def TV screens, one of which features the pastor himself. The irony of this, and this is what ultimately went viral, is J.D. Greer's seemingly lack of self-awareness about pointing out to people, saying, "You're a part of the problem here," and not seeing the irony of the situation. Because after all, how can Greer chastise people for treating Sunday mornings like nothing more than a religious show and nothing more than an elaborate production when he himself is seen as propagating the very thing that he's ultimately being critical of? Tough situation there. And all I have to say about this is, you reap what you sow. And while I want to show something of charity here to Greer, as in the broader context of the sermon, I think he's actually making a good point, and he's trying to fight against the larger cultural treatment of the church by many as nothing more than a place for religious entertainment, and I have nothing but amens to say about that, because that's how a lot of people are treating the church. But in fighting against the thing he's helping create, the environment and system which he has helped fostering and benefiting some, such is ultimately the equivalent of a bar owner complaining about all the drunks that frequents his establishment. You know, he might wish people to drink more responsibly, but at the end of the day, he's happy to sell them as much booze as possible. And that's kind of the situation that I think J.D. Greer and many others like him find himself in the situation. And don't get me wrong, I'm not here trying to talk smack about J.D. Greer. I personally don't know much about the man. I know he's a popular Southern Baptist minister and leader within the Southern Baptist denomination. And what I've heard of Greer and from Greer have largely been good things. I know some people that run in his circles, and they're good people, and I trust that J.D. Greer himself is a well-meaning pastor, and he's just trying to do the best with the situation and the platform he's been given, and I wish him nothing but well in all that he's doing. And the point of this podcast today is not to draw attention here or criticism of Greer himself, but to simply highlight a theme that I've raised many times over the past several years on this podcast, and I've talked about it before, and that simply has to do with the way we do and think about church. and the evangelical and Pentecostal circles that I've run in over the years, and that I'm very well much still part of, I can't help but notice how increasingly our churches have become platform-centered churches. And although we tend to lack a formal liturgical structure like you might find in the so-called high churches and their traditions, in which they put on very elaborate performances and rituals up front on the platform for all to see, we have a structure that, though we intended never to become such, has ultimately become practically sacrosanct just the same. So much so that if you were to go to your typical church service today, you could almost always expect the exact same format, this exact same sort of liturgy, even if it's not deeply programmed or deeply formed out of lots of years of tradition and theological reflection as it might be in some of the so-called high churches. But we're going to still see the same basic format with little variation. There might be a slight deviation from this, but generally speaking, on the typical evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic, non-denominational Baptist sort of place that you might attend on any given Sunday morning, every service starts generally with a brief greeting, an announcement, maybe a shaking of hands, 3 to 5 songs, an offering, a sermon, followed by a final song, maybe an altar call, and maybe a time marked ultimately with a prayer and a final benediction. And regardless of the size of this church that you might happen to go to, I've seen it happen in small churches with less than 20 people, and I've seen it happen in churches with thousands of people. All this ultimately happens on a stage with everyone more or less looking on in some sort of passive way as nothing more than a mere spectator. At best, people might clap and they might sing along. They might occasionally shout amen. But generally speaking, at these Sunday morning services in which these elaborate performances are being put on, whether small church or big church, audience involvement is ultimately pretty low. And in some circles, especially in your so-called frozen chosen circles, it's even sometimes frowned upon. Like, I can remember a church I went to once where even to say amen to a good message in a sermon would draw a lot of side eye next to in the congregation with the person you might be sitting near. So, it varies, you know, in every church a little bit, but more or less you still have this highly formatted liturgy built into the evangelical, Protestant, Pentecostal church structures and the way we conduct ourselves. And there's very little variation from this. An element here or two might be mixed up or left out or some other thing added to it. But generally speaking, we can expect that we know when we go to a church of the evangelical, Pentecostal, charismatic, non-denominational, Baptist sort of variety, that we can expect these sort of things. And that happens no matter how big or how small the church is. And over the years, I've personally made a little reputation for myself, especially back in my angry young prophet days. I've stirred a little trouble over the years by simply asking questions about this. What happens if we change the formula from this just a little bit, you know? Maybe our churches shouldn't be so platform-centered. Maybe, just maybe, we should have multiple people involved in the message on Sunday morning. Maybe we shouldn't just have one person giving a sermon. Maybe we should have multiple. And maybe it shouldn't just be a one-sided monologue, but maybe we could even have a dialogue back and forth where the pastor or the preacher or whoever simply ask questions of people in the congregation and they respond and they dialogue and they talk things out. And maybe we should have some room for things like spontaneous sharing. You know, maybe everything doesn't have to be so well scripted. Everything doesn't have to be this performance of oratory, a formal sermon prepared by a professional speaker. Or maybe we could do something like have the sermon first and the singing last. You know, like might be hard getting. You might feel bad about getting in church late if you miss the first 10 minutes of your pastor's sermon. what happens if we just shake this stuff up a little bit? Maybe we shouldn't have cameras everywhere that broadcast a sermon to 10 different campuses where people can watch on jumbo monitors all around the country or even the world. You know, I've asked crazy questions like this, and this always gets some sort of stirred up religious spirit that responds and basically says, no, this is the way things are going to be, and we're never going to change the format because, you know, X, Y, and Z. Yet here we are, you know, even talking about changing the formula just won't work for a lot of people. And here we are, stuck to the formula that it's ultimately, if you ever have been wondering, like, how did we get to this point? Why is it that my church is the way it is? Why do we have our order of service in this way? And it all ultimately has to go back to the great revival movements of the 18th and 19th centuries. If you were to study these things out, in those days, much of Christianity, especially in America, centered around traveling itinerant charismatic preachers who would pop up all over the country. They might bring with them a singer or two or three or find a little choir or something. They'd set up a tent. They'd set up a platform. They'd bounce around from town to town, traveling on horseback, traveling in caravan, preaching the gospel. And then when the masses gathered and everybody got converted, they'd start a church there. And the people who started those churches gathered around those free-floating itinerant preachers, those revivalists, those singing performers. The churches they would start would ultimately follow the same structure and format of the revival and tent meetings that they started with the itinerant preachers. So the itinerant preachers' preaching structure and the way that things followed ultimately caused churches to be planted that continued to follow the same format that people experienced through the itinerant ministries of those individuals. And such has ultimately been a feature of the evangelical movement since the days of guys like John Wesley, John Whitfield, and all the other great revival preachers that existed in the 18th and 19th centuries. And it's continued to exist throughout the centuries. Ultimately, it's a feature and not a bug of the evangelical movement as a whole. But in the past 15 or 20 years or so, I think we've basically taken this simple formula and we've baptized it in steroids. To the extent that our Sunday morning church, quote-unquote, experience has now more or less become nothing more than a slick rock concert with all sorts of fancy lights, lasers, and smoke. I'm still waiting for a church that does fire. I don't think that'll ever go over well. They probably aren't going to do pyrotechnics on a Sunday morning. But hey, if you go to a church that does pyrotechnics on a Sunday morning from the platform, please let me know. But our churches have more or less taken this format from the early revivalist. We've baptized it in steroids. And now we more or less have this slick rock concert featuring a special anointed TED Talk level speaker. And we throw them all together on a stage. And everybody's a paid professional performer. And the audience is ultimately just a spectator that shows up and is entertained and is expected to leave an offering or tithe. And that's more or less what the church has become in the past 15 years. Like, you've seen that with Hillsong, you've seen that with Elevation, you've seen that with so many churches who are ultimately following a very similar format and structure. And it's increasingly that if you go to any given church that's been started in the past 20 years or so, you're going to find that format more and more prevalent as more and more people copy what other popular, successful churches are doing and ultimately following what they see all the big, bad churches doing. And because they want the same level of success, the same level of outreach, the same level of cash flow, and all that goes with that. And that has become the new sort of structure that churches have adopted, and many are flocking to it. And it's almost becoming just the new standard format that even churches who lack the spectacular talent of, let's say, an Elevation, they're still trying to follow the same format, even if their singers and musicians aren't nearly as talented. And you get this increasingly everywhere. And as the article I cited at the beginning of this podcast from Christianity Today so aptly pointed out, it's interesting when we see this stuff happening, because at the end of the day, it's resulting in the medium becoming the message. When the primary center of a church is what happens on a Sunday morning stage, where everyone is a paid professional performer, you're essentially communicating that everyone else not on the stage is just a passive spectator whose only real purpose is to come to church on time and be entertained with religious content. And while guys like Pastor J.D. Greer might be sincerely trying to fight against that mentality by making some pretty bold statements from the pulpit, and he did make some pretty bold pointed things from the pulpit, things of which I ultimately clap and say amen. But I believe he's ultimately fighting a losing battle that he cannot ever hope to win. And that's lost on him, because the medium has become the message. And there's no chance you can challenge or change that so long as you continue to reinforce in your actions the very thing you preach against. Which at the end of the day, well-meaning as it might be, is a form of hypocrisy. My proposal today is a very, very simple one. Maybe, just maybe, we shouldn't turn the church into something centralized around a performance that happens to be on a platform for people sitting in pews. Call me crazy. The church is supposed to be a household of faith, the family of God, and a community that ultimately gathers around Christ. Let me just ask you very simply, especially for those like me who have gone to churches like Elevation, do you feel that when you're getting together on Sunday morning, that the church is a household of faith, a family of God, and a community that ultimately gathers around Christ? Or is what you're experiencing something more of just a religious performance, a religious show centered around a charismatic speaker, a dynamite band, and the institution that comes with that? I'd leave you to answer that question honestly. I'd leave you to ponder that, because I think if you were honest with yourself, you would realize that churches like Elevation, well-meaning as they may be, are just the Stephen Furtick Show at the end of the day. The church ends, begins, and exists all based off the central ministry of one man and the performance of everything that happens on that platform. And if that man were to disappear, and if that band were to disappear, that household of faith, whatever it might be, would ultimately crumble overnight. So I believe that we should resist any notions to turn the church into some sort of theatrical performance or play, an elaborate production or experience, merely to be consumed on a Sunday morning. And don't get me wrong, there is a place for platforms, like this podcast. There is a place for platforms. There is a place for pulpits. There is a place for sermons. There is a place for paid professional clergy, so to say. But when what takes place on a stage is the centrality of our Christian experience, I believe we've deeply erred. Our Christian experience should ultimately focus on gathering together. I believe, if you look at the pages of the New Testament, that our Christian experience should primarily gather around that of sharing a common meal together, living out our faith together, and as we mutually share our lives in Christ. It should not be centered around what happens on a platform on Sunday mornings. And while there's certainly a place for such things in the life of the church, I can't help but when I read the pages of the New Testament, that the models of ministry that we've borrowed from the 18th and 19th century revivalists and baptized on in steroids here in the 21st century, it's ultimately a format not found anywhere in Scripture. Instead, what we read about are groups of people in the scripture who primarily gathered together to share their lives in Christ with one another, to dedicate themselves to following the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, to share a common meal together, to pray, to sing, and to mutually encourage one another in their faith. And while there were special times of gathering together in larger audiences to carefully listen to someone preach a lengthy sermon or series of sermons, such was never the primary focus of the life of the New Testament church. And what happened when the church gathered in living rooms and at dinner tables was primary of importance in their experience. That was the thing that they focused on the most. And if we operated as such, sermons like J.D. Greer's, where he's encouraging everyone to not be tardy at church or to leave early, would be kind of an unusual thing to hear, because it wouldn't make any sort of sense in the context of the way the church existed in the New Testament and the way it should continue to exist today. If we read the pages of the New Testament correctly, church gatherings were more of a potluck style type of event than a Sunday morning performance put on by paid performers for people sitting passively in pews. Today, we're not anywhere near that, which has long deeply grieved me. And apart from burning everything down and starting all over again, which is something that can't happen, I'm not sure how we ever get back there. Some doors are just hard to unshut. But one thing's for sure. We won't get there as long as we continue to feel the need to put on elaborate religious productions for people to consume like it's their favorite TV show. And we certainly won't get there as long as we continue to financially compensate people for putting on such productions. In the end, the only reforms we'll ever see to all this is when people have a change of appetites, and when those who have been primarily responsible for doing the cooking start giving us meat instead of cake. It's going to take both the people sitting in the pews and the people up on the stage to ultimately bring all this down and to reform it. And such, though, will not ultimately happen until we ultimately have a change of appetite, to where instead of our hunger being for religious performance put on a platform somewhere for us to consume, that it'll only change when our appetite and hunger becomes for a church that's ultimately centered around Christ and Christ alone. Until then, we'll only continue to see more of the same, and things will continue to drift in the direction we've long been drifting down. So everybody, this has been Jimmy Humphrey, episode 189, The Church Has Become a Religious Show. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If it's been thought-provoking to you, I'd love your feedback. Email me, jimmy@jimmystable.com, or you can reach out to me on platforms like Twitter and Facebook, links to both over at jimmystable.com. If you've not had the chance to subscribe to the jimmystable.com podcast yet, go to jimmystable.com/subscribe, and you can find your favorite way to do so, either through your favorite podcast app like Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or any other platform you may use, or even just old-fashioned email news updates so you know when every new episode comes out. And if you've not had a chance to leave your glowing 5-star review of this high-quality production, go and do so at places like Apple and Spotify, where you can leave 5-star reviews and let people know, like, wow, if Jimmy Humphrey were a church, I would build it around him. No. The irony of all that is not lost on me, by the way. I'm just having fun. Can't we have fun together? So everybody, this has been Jimmy Humphrey, jimmystable.com, where I'm having conversations about the intersection of faith, life, and culture. Take care, everybody. God bless, and have a good one.
That's all I have to say about that.
That's so right on, man. You said it all.